Well, over recent weeks, we've been questioned and challenged from up front. Do you know Jesus? What does he mean to you? Do you talk to him? Does he talk to you? And more. And last Sunday, Andrew very ably reminded us, if we needed reminding, that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a king to rule over us, and Lord, so that we might serve him as he requires and deserves. And I tell you, I went home last Sunday feeling excited and really blessed. Not because Christmas was coming and all those trappings, but because of the memory of Jesus and all that he means to me. I like new beginnings, and today is the first day of a new Christian year. We've come out of ordinary time and we've come into Advent, the preparation time for the coming of the Lord Jesus. And for some people, it is a time to meet with Jesus and recognize him for the very first time, as we saw in our sketch. For others, it will be a time to reflect and perhaps move on, recognizing that they're being led by the Lord himself. And for all of us, it should be a reminder that one day he will come again and establish his kingdom. So yes, I'm still excited. Gospel account shows us clearly the wonderful preparation God made for that first Christmas. It didn't seem wonderful to some of the people of that time, but they were chosen to play a very important part in real life, not a story. It was a dark day for the nation of Israel. No prophetic word from God for 400 years. The spiritual leaders were held back by tradition and some corruption, and their king Herod was a tyrant. What do we learn from this? No matter how dark the day is, God always has his devoted and obedient people, the faithful few who are prepared to lead people forward. I remember at some of our Monday Bible classes, there was always a remnant of people who would move the work on, and so it is today. Our Bible reading tells of a faithful couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, who in spite of all that godlessness around them were faithful to obey the word of God and live blamelessly, their sorrow being that they had no children. Zechariah was a priest, and the priest worked on a rota but drew lots to see which ministry they would perform, and Zechariah was chosen to offer incense in the holy place. This was a very high honour for him. He was permitted to go as a priest once in a lifetime, and the incense was offered daily before the morning sacrifice and after the evening sacrifice, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it was probably the evening offering that was assigned to Zechariah. We have a saying, if you want something doing, ask a busy person. When we are busy, our engine is running and we're in gear. There's much to think about that. When we're busy, we're ready, we're in gear. And God often speaks to his people and calls them while they're busy doing their daily tasks. Moses and David were caring for sheep. Gideon was threshing wheat. Peter and his partners were mending nets when Jesus called them. It's difficult to steer a car when the engine isn't running. When we get busy, God starts to direct us. So has that been your experience recently? Are you feeling that God is pushing you? Is God telling you something? Are you not quite ready for that? You don't know what to do? Are you beginning to understand that it's a call from God? And he wants you to accept and move on. Gabriel brought a wonderful message to Zechariah, what we would call too good to be true. Elizabeth was to bear a son, to be named John, who would dedicate his life to God. He would be God's prophet, to present people back to the Lord, just as Isaiah had promised. Instead of looking to God by faith, the priest did what we might have done. He looked to himself and his wife and decided that the birth was impossible. He wanted a sign from God. He was really questioning God's ability to fulfill his word. And before we criticize Zechariah too much, we should examine ourselves and see how strong our faith is. If you're questioning what you think God wants you to do, I pray that this will help you. Faith is blessed, but unbelief is judged. God did give the priest a sign, but he meant he would have to wait 9 months before he could share all this with his wife and others. But God kept his promise, and Elizabeth conceived a son in her old age. There's nothing too hard for God. Not only was she to have a son, but the birth of that son was evidence that the Messiah was coming. Yes, indeed, those were exciting days too. These should be exciting days for us. We have a new bishop in Manchester, and he wants to see growth in the church, not just in numbers, although that would be good, but growth spiritually. He spoke about growth in the way that we reach out to other people. The world's changing. We need to see a big picture. I feel myself that God is using circumstances today in order to bring people together, because I think of all the things that are going on in the Christian world, in other countries, wonderful things. And I believe that God will draw us together because we're all his children. We need to be able to recognize that we are related to other people through Christ. Jesus came to heal the sick, to restore the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. And these needs are still with us, maybe more so. So there's much for us to do. Helen's mentioned the different services that we're having in Advent. Embrace Middle East, Action for Children, the Bible Society, and Open Doors. Embrace Me has introduced a new, I thought I had a copy of it, carol sheet. I found it. This has been going for 60 years. And of course, before it was published by Bible Lands, but now it's Embrace the Middle East. You can understand why they call it Embrace. It's this bringing people together. But they've been absolutely amazed at the requests that they've had for this carol sheet. I'm not too surprised, really, because it was free. But we've got copies for us, and they will be used in services later on this month. They raise funds. They help the missions, as Helen told us, helping many people. Because Jesus was born in Bethlehem, we've emphasised that today. Our two people were making that journey back to Bethlehem. But there are wonderful things, those things that Helen mentioned. I didn't know she was going to do that. And I thought, yes, I remember reading about those things. Those are the things that excite me when I see what other Christians are doing. There's the Coptic Church in Egypt, and they're doing fantastic things. There are young women there, married with children. They can't read or write. And so there are literacy classes for them. There's the Helen Keller School in Jerusalem, where people with sight problems go, children go, and they're taught and given jobs and helped put back into life. There's a young man here, and he's in Bethlehem, and he went to school, he was disabled, This often happens. He was mocked by the other children. He was very unhappy. He was shy to begin with. And his life was really miserable. And the Cyrus School in Bethlehem took him on. And he was with them for a few years. And they built up his confidence so that eventually he was able to go back into mainstream school. He's 20 now. And he's studying at the Palestinian Red Crescent. That's like our Red Cross. He's training to be a first aid officer. And it's wonderful that now he can speak with other people. He's got the confidence and a job there to do. All because of these people who've supported a project in Bethlehem. You know, as you read about Embrace, you think about all those places you've seen on television. Beirut, that was mentioned yesterday. So it starts up in Beirut and every city that you know in the Bible, right down to Egypt, to Cairo and Alexandria. And you've heard of the West Bank, haven't you? It's always trouble in the West Bank because really it belongs to the Palestinians. But the Israeli people plant their own camps there. And there's an article here, all who are thirsty. And Jesus said, all who are thirsty, come to me. These people are thirsty. There's a farmer, a Palestinian farmer, and he's short of water because the Israeli people are getting more than their fair share. They've got swimming pools and beautiful gardens, and here's the farmer, short of water for his crops. The unfairness that's going on, but with the help of Embrace and other people, he has helped to overcome that difficulty. And in that, they come to know the Lord, and many more. So, I just pray that during these coming weeks, you will be supported. You will be encouraged to support them. As a church, we have already donated to each of those four missions. But if you yourself would like to give, if you want to give money, see Val. If you want a copy of their prayer diary, see me. Or if you want to get their magazine, it's really good reading. We've just got a little DVD now that just shows you a bit of life in Bethlehem as it is today. And then after this, the children will come and join us.